You're listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.
Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. It is the parable of the lost son. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me.' So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region. And there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My husband, Mike, has the ability to find anything, which is very helpful to me. Many years ago, we were camping with my brother and his family and another family, and our kids were little, and we were at the Sleeping Bear sand dunes. And we had gone there to look at the sunset, and it was getting dark, and we went back to our car, and my sister-in-law discovered that the key that she had put in her pocket was not there. So they couldn't get in the car. So Mike and my brother and sister-in-law and the husband from the other family went back to everywhere we'd been in the sand dunes to look for the key. And it took a while, But after about 20 minutes or a half hour, they came back, and Mike had found the key. Now, my sister-in-law first thought that it was all a joke. He had been playing on her, because how could anyone have found the key? But he found it in an area where she had gone up, and it was right there in the sand. A week later, we were up north at our cottage, and our son Ben, who was little at the time, lost one of his first teeth. And this was the day we were leaving, so he had to bring it home with him to put it underneath his pillow for the tooth fairy to come, and I put it in a bag and left it on the counter and then promptly threw it away. We had taken the garbage to the dumpster and realized what had happened after that. We went back out to the dumpster. Mike found the tooth in the garbage. I'm telling you, I no longer look for things now. If something's lost, I just tell him. I know it would be silly to ask if you have ever lost anything, because we all have lost things from time to time, and we know that feeling of panic. We might give ourselves a hard time, depending on what it is. We could even feel broken or not complete until we find it. Jesus told a few stories about losing things. He told the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Now, the shepherd's sheep is lost, and he leaves the 99 other sheep to go and find that one sheep. And he does, and he brings everyone back together, and he has a party with his friends and rejoices. There's a woman who's lost her coin, and she can't find it. So she lights the lamp, and she sweeps the floor, and she looks until she can find it. It's part of her dowry. She needs it, and she finds it. And when she does, she gathers her friends and rejoices and has a party. There's a man who had two sons. One asks for his inheritance and spends it all and comes back, and the father rejoices and has a party. Now, this one is the most layered of the stories, probably one of the best known parables to us. There's even whole books and chapters on this one parable, and there's several ways of interpreting it. There are questions regarding who exactly is this parable about. Is it about the father? Is it about the younger son who went out and squandered his father's money? Or is it about the older son who stayed and was there all along? Regardless, it's a story about a man who has two sons, a man who loves his sons, a man who wants his sons to love each other. The youngest of the two asks for his inheritance. Now, this is not a normal request. In fact, it's a pretty insensitive request. It's a step towards breaking the relationship between father and son, because you don't get the inheritance until the person has died. And in some cases, back then, maybe at a wedding. Neither was the case. It's usually a death, and asking for his inheritance is kind of saying that his dad is already dead. But the father, loving his son, is willing to go ahead and give him the money. And so he divides the money between each of his sons. In those days, the older son would have received 2/3 of all that the man had, all of his money and property, and the younger son would have received the other third. And so he was given his 1/3, his share. He goes off and he spends his money, he wastes it, wastes all of it, and he's hungry and he's lost. And he decides that he will go back to his father and he will fall on his father's feet and he will apologize and ask for his father to just let him be a servant to him, let him go out and take care of the pigs. Well, the father was there waiting for him with open arms, waiting for his son to come home, and they're reunited, and this lost son is returned, and it's wonderful. There's a celebration. And if we want to leave the story there, it's a story of forgiveness and repentance, and that's great, and it's certainly true and has merit, and it's supported by Jesus' own words, but it's not the whole story. There's that older brother who is just mad. No one even invited him to the party. He has to ask the servant what in the world is going on in the first place. He's upset, he feels left out and alone, and he's angry at the affection that his younger brother is receiving from his father. Now, this parable is one that I think evokes a lot of emotions. We can read this parable and we find ourselves in the parable. Where are we? Are we the father? Are we the younger son? Are we the older son? The father who doesn't know what else to do? He gives his son what he's asked for and prays. The son who gets lost in his own agenda, wastes away the blessings that he's been given. The older son who's been faithful and the whole time, who deserves the party because he's done all the work. It's just not fair. We can find ourselves in one of the characters in this story. And we look at all of the story and we see the sons and we might even think, well, wow, they were both jerks. And the father loved them anyway. But the father does more than that. Remember, with the lost sheep, the shepherd goes out and searches. With the lost coin, the woman sweeps and looks and searches. With the lost son, the father is just waiting there, expecting, hoping. Except that's just in the case for the first son. Once he's welcomed his son home, he throws him a party and everyone attends, but the father notices that his older son isn't there. And so he goes looking for him. He goes to find him, to search for him. And he finds the son with hopes of bringing him back. He comforts him. And like the shepherd and the woman, the father searched for his son who was lost. Lost in his feelings, lost in his loneliness. Amy Jill Levine writes, in its original context, the parable of the prodigal son wouldn't have been heard as a story of repentance or forgiveness or a story of works, righteousness, and grace. Instead, the parable's message of finding the lost, of reclaiming children, of reassuring the meaning of family, offers not only good news, but better news. The father sought to reunite his family, to restore them all to wholeness. When the father comforts his older son, he uses language of sharing. What's mine is yours. You are important and valued. The son needed to hear this. He felt left out. He was angry. And his feelings are justified, right? He's been there working the whole time. His brother comes back. There's a party, and he's not even invited. Okay, we can see who I can relate to in this story. But his father reassures him. Now notice in this parable, there's not an exchange between the father and the younger son when the younger son comes back. The father just opens his arms, welcomes him, gives him gifts, and just there's great joy. Once the father finds the older son, he takes time and talks with him. He reminds him of his place in the family, and he says, it's necessary for us to rejoice. Your brother was lost and is found, was dead and is now alive. He reminds the older son of his relationship with his brother, that they are family. If either son is missing, the family isn't whole. Now, many of us even, live with a family situation where one is lost. Maybe they are estranged, or maybe they're just distant. They've separated themselves from the family, sometimes out of necessity. We all know that there are sometimes cases of abuse where that's necessary. Other times, there are other reasons, personality issues. Many times, whatever the reasons are, don't make sense or are the results of outside influences. In all of those cases, at least one person is lost, broken, hurt. In many cases, there's a longing for wholeness. And that doesn't just happen in families. It happens in other areas of our lives too. It happens even in the church. There are people within these walls and outside of these walls who are lost, who are feeling alienated, who are feeling alone, and God has placed us in community together. Do we really know each other? Do we know what's going on in each other's lives? Do we know who's missing, who's hurting, who's lost? We're not whole as a body if anyone is lost. That's part of why we do the transformational mission work that we do, to help and support those who may be considered lost to the world, to the systems, to us. And also, if we are really to be a church family, the body of Christ, we need to know each other, to look out for each other. If you haven't seen the person who normally sits behind you, check on them. Maybe they're lost. If you haven't talked to the person you pulled weeds with at the church cleanup, give them a call. Reach out. If you don't know where the friend you met in Bible study has been, find them. We can't know what another person is going through if we don't try to find out, if we don't engage, if we let them stay lost. If one of us is hurting, we are all hurting. You never know what may be going on. Your call may be just what they need to feel less lost, to make the body whole again. In the parable, the work of keeping the body whole fell to the Father. His love motivated him. It gave him a forgiving and compassionate heart. And we, as the body of Christ, as the church, are called to be like the Father, to welcome everyone, to celebrate them, to show them they are loved without judgment, without condition. And we are to go out to those who are lost through compassionate listening and serving and invite them back, care for them without judgment, without condition. We are called to operate out of love and compassion, to care for our brothers and sisters, to find the lost without whom we are not whole, and to celebrate. There's another story. Jesus didn't tell it. Megan McKenna told it. It's an old Jewish story that dates back to as many as 6 centuries before Jesus. There was an old man who had 2 sons. It came time for him to die. And so he called his sons together to give them the land. The older son, who had worked with him longer, he gave the harder land because he would know how to work it. He had that experience having worked with his father. And to the younger son, who had not had as much experience with his father working, he gave him the lower land, which was easier to work. And then he said, "Remember, you are my sons, my children, and brothers always. Stay together in heart, even if you are separated in life and circumstances." Soon the father died, and the 2 sons took the land, and they began their lives. The older son never married. He worked the poorer land. He worked it hard, and he did very well. The younger son married and had many children. He worked the bottom land, and sometimes he did well, but he needed everything that he made to care for his family, to feed them. The brothers didn't see each other anymore. They were very busy with their own lives. The older son, thinking about his brother and how many mouths to feed he had, even with good land, that was a lot, and it must be rough. And he thought to himself, "I've had a good harvest. I'll bring him some sheaves of wheat and leave them in the barn." And so he counted out 12 sheaves of wheat, and he snuck over and he left them in the barn. And then the younger son was thinking about his brother, and he thought, "He's never married. He's all alone working so hard. He must be lonely. He got the poorer land, and my harvest was good. I'll bring him some sheaves of wheat and leave them for him in his barn." And so he counted out 12 sheaves of wheat, and he snuck over and he left them in the barn. Both brothers went to bed feeling good. And the next morning, each brother went out to the barn and they counted out their sheaves, and they couldn't figure out how they had given away 12 sheaves but still seemed to have them. So they decided, both of them, to bring their brother more. That night, both counted out 12 sheaves of wheat and they added in a jar of olives. They went out in the dark, they slipped past each other in the dark, and they left them in the barn. And the next morning, they still had what they'd given away. So they decided to go again. They counted 12 sheaves of wheat, a jar of olives, and they added a bottle of wine. Each one of them took their donkey with them and set out for the brother's farm. Now that night, the moon was full, and so as they were coming, they met in the middle. They fell into each other's arms. They remembered their father, they praised God, and they promised never to forget and to stay together. The Jews say that the spot where they met is where the elders built the Temple of Jerusalem. And wherever siblings come together in compassion and worship, it is holy ground, and God is delighted. These brothers didn't keep score. They weren't alienated from each other. They loved each other, but they lost each other. Through acts of compassion, they were found and whole again. God is delighted. God rejoices when the lost are found, when the body is whole. We are called together to be the body of Christ. So who is missing? Who is lost? May we find them and rejoice. And may God delight in the reunion. Amen.
You've been listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.